welcome to the Hairy Man Show number 20, where it doesn't shred any more than Tommy Gibbons. Today I have an old friend, old bandmate, really cool guy. He's really talented at what he does, and we'll get more into that. But how are you doing today, Tommy?
I'm doing amazing. Like, really good.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be in your home studio here. It's still, I mean, it looks a little different, but I'm still happy to be here.
Yeah. We definitely made some upgrades since the last time you were here.
So how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I just did a live stream last night at VX3 Studios, so I'm still kind of recovering. But, I mean, I feel great. I feel really good.
And you mentioned earlier it was still fun, but it did miss the human element there.
I mean, like, you know, with the whole situation right now, it is a little weird, like, trying to perform as if, you know, because I feed off crowd, mm-hmm. the crowd energy. I'm pretty sure most live performers do. So it is a little weird, you know, knowing, like, okay, there could be potentially like 1,000 people watching, but yet they're not here.
Yeah.
And it's just this quiet studio room.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to project that same energy. It is a little difficult. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still have to keep in mind I'm trying to entertain these people that are watching, and, you know, got to give it my all.
Nice. And your current project, you're playing with Wade Coda, right?
Yes, I'm playing with the Wade Coda band. I'm also lead guitarist of Farewell to Fear, and nice. I'm doing my own solo thing as well.
Oh, nice. And what do you guys have in plan for the Wade Coda project?
We are actually dropping a brand new single on the 18th.
Really?
Called Ordinary Life. We actually debuted it last night. We played it for the first time live last night, and it seemed to go over pretty well. But we're doing that, and then, you know, kind of just going from there. Nice. You know, with how things are, they're very unpredictable, so we just kind of have to go with the flow at this point.
Yeah, and if all you guys that haven't heard of Wade Coda, he was an American Idol finalist. I actually filled in with him years ago with you guys.
Yeah, yep.
He's a good guy. That guy has a voice. There's another one that's going to be up and coming. I see really good things in his future as well. Speaking about your studio, what kind of facility and what do you do here in the studio?
I produce bands here, record and produce them. For a while, I actually had it closed off for a while. I was just kind of mainly using it for my writing and whatnot. But, you know, I've been getting hit up by bands left and right now. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Maybe I should reopen it. And,
yeah, you should.
and give this another try. It's just I was so focused on my goals and I wanted to keep it that way because I do have a bad habit. Once I get pulled in 500 different directions, I kind of lose focus a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I think a lot of people can speak that now.
Yeah, but I feel like I finally got like a good balance, you know, of everything, because I'm not taking any client in. You know, I want to actually be invested in the project too. It's more than just money with me. I want to actually enjoy it, feel like this is going to go somewhere, you know, and, you know, because like at the end of the day, you know, my name's on it too.
Yeah.
You know.
But as far as what genres you stick with, is there a particular genre? Or are you open to everything?
I'm open to everything. I mean, this past week I've had two hip hop artists in.
Really?
And that was a lot of fun. That is a blast, actually. And I've been working with a country artist.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've also worked with rock and metal, of course.
Nice.
But I like to keep it open because at the end of the day, too, I learn stuff.
Nice.
You know, I'm always wanting to learn and grow as a writer, as a musician. And I believe when you have an open mind about stuff, you know, you learn a lot more.
Yeah. And you did hip hop there for a little bit too, right?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to mix a little bit with what I'm doing as far as my solo stuff goes. Cause I'm actually a huge, huge rap fan.
Really?
Not something that I've been open about before, but
you heard it here first.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I'm a huge hip hop fan. I love like some of the newer artists like Joyner Lucas. I've always been a huge Eminem fan.
Oh yeah.
But I've been listening to a lot more of the lyrical stuff. You know, I'm not really a huge fan of the mumble rap stuff.
Yeah.
But I found stuff I like about that too. Like they usually have the sickest beats. I don't know what it is. I'm like, God, why is like guys can't talk worth a damn, but yet they got like the best beats. That's unfair. But, you know, and that goes with any genre I'm listening to. I always try to find something that I like out of it instead of just trying to bag on it.
Yeah. You know? And then just to kind of back it up a little bit there, what got you into guitar playing? I know that's a while back though, you've been playing your whole life, but what was like the spark for you?
Definitely when my dad took me to a Joe Satriani concert.
Really?
I was like, whoa, I need to do that. Whatever.
Were you playing at the time or you just...
No, I wasn't playing. I was, you know, I was only 8 years old when he took me.
Really?
Or something like that. But I just, you know, I was just so into it. You know, I was like, I don't know what's happening, but this is amazing.
Yeah, was it more just the sheer energy of it or just the shred kind of style that you were attracted to?
I guess a combination of both. Just the fact like this guy's up there just making these loud, high-pitched noises, and fans love it. They're just eating it up, and I'm like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be like that.
And then typically people start with acoustic, but did you just jump into electric at first?
No, I started with acoustic and hated it. Absolutely hated it. Because, you know, you start off with like row, row, row your boat. Like, this, I don't like this. This is not what I wanted, you know. Because I kind of skipped the whole kid songs era in my life. You know, I jumped right into like, you know, the very first rock metal song I've ever heard was Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, really?
Which is ironic.
And you just, as short now, you just released a YouTube video on that.
I did. So released
tell
the cover.
Us, we'll come back to it, but tell us a little bit about that so we can find it.
So a buddy of mine actually called No Budget Nerd, who does stop motion. Mm. There's like fan made stop motion Godzilla films on YouTube, which is amazing, by the way. Definitely need to check that out. We were talking about doing something a while ago before the whole pandemic happened. We wanted to do something for maybe like G Fest, which is Godzilla Fest they hold every year. We were talking about doing something like that, you know, but that didn't happen. But, then I was like, man, you know what? I still got this cover. Why don't we do something with it? And then Gavin Donnelly and Matt Miller of their band called, I'm going to butcher this name, Sag Dacos, I think that's how you say it. They were old members of mine of a project that never really got off the ground, but they were on the track. I'm like, hey, you know, do you guys mind if I still use your tracks? I'll promote you guys. One, mainly because I really just didn't feel like remaking them again, and they did a great job, so I was like, it'd be really cool, it'd be like cross promoting thing.
Nice.
And then so one thing led to another. Gavin also did the editing for the lyric video because he runs Soundforia. And then one thing led to another, we put it together, and I was like, yeah man, after watching, I was like, I want to release this, and you know, there, and here it is, you know.
It's pretty cool. I watched it this morning, actually.
Oh, nice.
I really enjoyed it, and I liked the original, and I like that version of it as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I tried to stay as true to the original vocally, but I felt like instrumentally I wanted to beef it up a little bit, almost add a thrash element to it.
Yeah.
You know, especially like some of the double time drums and like the faster picking. But I tried to stay true, pretty close to the original as much as I could.
Nice. Now, and it kind of downshifted on you again, though. So after, what bands were you? I know you're a big Zakk Wylde and Monster Magnet. That's what it was.
Oh, God, I love Monster Magnet.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. So were you just diving into the heavy stuff right away? Or was it kind of like introduction with the, I mean, what was the path you took with that?
Actually, in the beginning, you know, I was more into like the Joe Satriani, Blue Oyster Cult. I was a big Black Sabbath fan.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah. Oh, but I guess with me, when I really got into playing out and stuff, I wasn't really that great of a vocalist. I couldn't really sing.
Takes everyone time with that, man.
Oh yeah, I couldn't carry a pitch to save my life. So I kind of, I guess, covered it up by doing like death metal, and I got into like heavier music, started hearing like Deicide and all those heavier bands. I was like, oh well, I can kind of do that. And I guess some people just thought it was cool because I was only like 15 or 16 at the time doing like this heavy death metal stuff.
Yeah, I remember that,
you know. And but, you know, as much as I enjoyed and liked that, I think I finally reached a point where I'm like, dude, I can't, you know, I want to make music my living. You know, as much as I love it and it is a passion, I want to make it my living. And it's hard to make a living doing that stuff. You know, I'm just being realistic here.
Yeah.
You know, unless I want to go to Europe or something, which, you know, I'm always game for. But
yeah.
You know, I was,
and not to sound cliche, it's just all about perseverance and all that stuff. You just got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
It really is. And it's the toughest business to do that in, because you're going to put all this effort into something and get very little back. That's why, again, you do have to love it.
Yeah, you got to have some thick skin. I've experienced it here and there. But
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you definitely just have to grow with it and move on with it. But who are you listening to currently? As far as like, who's like the guy you're watching right now, you're like, oh my god.
As far as just like what I enjoy listening to, or like
both, like trying to learn and
One artist I brought up earlier, Joyner Lucas, I really like a lot. He's a rapper. I love his flow. I feel like he has a very unique sound. And I'm listening to like some heavier stuff. Like I really dig I Prevail. Kind of goes back to like the early 2000s stuff, you know, where like they're mixing like some rap with like the heavier metal. I think that's really cool. But with me, like listening, I have a hard time actually sitting down listening to music. Like
really?
I really do. It's really hard for me because I can never listen to music as a fan, and that sucks. No, I'm being serious. Like it really sucks. Cause like, especially like if I'm out with my girlfriend or if I'm out like with buddies, they're like, hey man, check out this band. And I just find myself picking apart and being like a mood killer, and I don't mean to do it. Like it just happens. I'm like,
I can relate to that.
You know, I'm like, oh God. And they're like, my girlfriend like gets so mad at me sometimes because she listens to more like, you know, the modern pop stuff, which I like. I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, I'll just see my, I'm like, oh God, I can hear the auto tune, or I can hear this, or like, why did they do that? And just, I could just see the frustration on her face. Like, oh my God, just shut up and listen to it. And I do it with my dad too. And I feel terrible because like he likes a lot of the classic rock stuff. And you know, like with the more classic rock, there was a lot of imperfections, but I mean, that's what made it cool though.
It was all one take. Go.
Yeah. And, but I still catch myself like, oh God, a drummer didn't play to a click, and it, just, it drives him nuts too.
Especially with some of the Sabbath stuff too.
Oh yeah. But I guess, you know, on the flip side of that though, I feel like that gives it its charm though,
because
everything is so processed now and so perfect that you do lose a lot of that human element that I kind of miss actually.
Yeah, I'm not bashing it anyway. I just mean you can definitely appreciate the, you know, the offness to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense. I mean, kind of the same thing with nu metal too, that early 2000s stuff. It wasn't the most polished material, but looking back at it, it was so raw. Just the energy, you could feel it. I mean, people bag on nu metal all they want, but it was a big phase for its time. And I really think it actually paved the way for a lot of like these modern djent artists. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to get crucified for saying that, but you think about it, the syncopated rhythms, the, you know, open low notes, just following the kick drums. I mean, nu metal was doing that in the early 2000s.
When you listen to nu metal, it always feels like the guitar is in front.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It feels like the drummer is always kind of following the guitar.
Yeah. That's like, it's more like usually in a typical band scenario, the drummer's the heartbeat of the band, but the guitars almost feel more like rhythmic percussive than the drums do in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you're right. And like listening to bands like Limp Bizkit or even Linkin Park, I would say, it just seems like the band's pushing the guitar more than the guitar pushing the drums.
Right.
And that's from a drummer's perspective.
Right, absolutely. No, and I agree with you 100%
on that.
It's
kind of weird. And then when you listen to bands like Black Sabbath, he's on top of the band.
Right, right.
So it's a different animal and every band's different, you know. It's like that's the stuff I analyze when I sit down and listen to stuff. But
absolutely, absolutely. No, and I catch myself doing the same thing too. Like, you know, I'm always curious. Like, I would love to sit down with some of these artists and go, "What were you thinking writing this?" Or, I don't know. I don't mean that in a bad way. Just like I want to know, like, why would you go do this chord or why did you approach it this way? Mm-hmm. Because my stories are always boring when people ask me like, oh, what was your thought process on writing this? I'm like, I don't know. I was noodling around and it sounded cool.
Yeah.
I feel bad because I don't have like any cool, like deep stories. Like, oh, when I wrote this song, I was in, I don't have any of those.
Just walking in the park and a butterfly just laying on my shoulder.
I'm just like, I was sitting in my studio and I played a couple chords. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. I want to record that and then build it from there. You know, I'm still waiting for that though. I want that cool story to tell.
I imagine it's gonna happen, dude. You still have a lot of fire in you, and you're definitely gonna have some stories.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, and this is a broad question. I know you endorse a lot of brands and gear over the year. What are you currently playing right now?
Playing with Bad Boy Guitars. They're actually a company out of here, a local Phoenix, Arizona company.
Oh, really? Shout out to Bad Boy Guitars?
Yep, absolutely. Oh, nice. They actually built me a custom signature 7-string, which I'm absolutely in love with. Yeah, we call it the TG7 Desert Eagle. I think a fan actually, so because I did a poll on Facebook, hey, help me name my signature model, and some people, a bunch of people actually recommended that name, I think. And I was like, all right, I guess that's what I'm going with.
Is that the one that's in the photo of the show?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
a
nice guitar. Yes.
Yeah, I love it. And like, what I love about a company that's a little bit like on the indie side, smaller side, is you get that personal attention. I mean, nice. Perry really sat with me and was asking me questions on what I want. And kind of, I feel bad because like, I'm one of those guitar players that I actually am not really that picky. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't just sit here and tell you I need this specific pickup, this kind of wood. I'm actually awful at that because I'm like, well, does it plug in and make noise? All right, great. I'm happy with it.
I need Zebra Coca-Cola.
Yeah, yeah. I just because like I couldn't tell you the different kinds of woods to save my life.
Yeah.
I would be so screwed if someone had a gun to my head and goes, what wood is on your guitar? I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, not everyone's going to know everything about everything, you know, but drums are a little different. You kind of have your same five woods, but guitars, there's a lot more broad.
Right, yeah. Right. And you know, at the end of the day, like, look, if it plays great, sounds great, and, you know, looks cool, I'm happy with it.
What are you playing amp-wise right now?
It varies. Like, it just depends on the project. So, like, with Farewell to Fear, I'm probably going to be most likely sticking to the Fractal.
Nice.
I love them. And just because I feel like, especially with touring, they're consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really have to worry about someone messing with the amp or my settings getting messed up. But you know, last night was actually my first time playing with the Wade Coda band, and they're more of a raw pop rock type vibe. So I just kind of felt like a digital preamp really wasn't going to work for that. Mm. So I went with an orange head and a 112 Mesa cab.
Nice.
And I really love the sound I got out of that.
Yeah.
It just was like this really just good, creamy, but yet crunchy rock tone. Mm-hmm. And it worked really well. I was actually really happy the way that turned out.
Oh, nice. Now, as far as some of your studio processes, what are there any techniques you use, or do you isolate, a little bit about that?
I mean, when it comes, it actually depends on the band. It depends on the artist that I'm working with. And I know that's kind of like an easy cop-out cliche.
Yeah,
answer.
Sorry. I know it's a broad question as well.
No, totally fine. But I kind of just, it just depends on the band, like what they're looking for. Typically, I actually ask bands or any artists that come in here, you got any demos or anything I can listen to beforehand? Because mm-hmm. I do study the artists as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And then I also figure out, man, where could I take them, or where can they go? Mm-hmm. But as far as like actual techniques, I mean, it's pretty much the standard stuff, mm-hmm. you know? I don't really, you know, really nothing crazy that I do.
yeah, I understand.
I do love layering and harmonies, though. That is like a big thing with me. I love stacking guitars, stacking vocals. Mm-hmm. You know, I think because, dude, anytime a huge harmony kicks in on a chorus, dude, it's so awesome.
Nice.
I love it.
Is there anything you're looking forward to getting gear-wise? I know that's another broad question for you, but is there anything you're like, oh, you know what? I want to try that next.
I definitely want to look into maybe a better mic. Like, I really am actually curious about those Steven Slate vocal mics. I guess you get like one mic, and then he has like a plugin that emulates like the different kinds.
Oh, really?
That looks pretty interesting to me. Because I'm kind of one of those guys. Like, I'm not like a purist. It's like, oh no, it's got to be this mic, this tube mic, blah blah blah, five freaking grand for this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I believe because plugins have come so far, mm-hmm. and you know, the digital era has come so far, like, man, you can do a lot with so little, you know, but, you know, so I kind of got my eye on that, but other than that, nothing really.
Cool. And not to shift gears on you a little bit, but one thing, walking to the studio, you're definitely a Godzilla fan. Tell us a little bit about that.
I've been a Godzilla fan since I was a little kid. My dad got me into it.
Oh, really?
Flipping through the channels, and I just see these giant puppet monsters fighting each other. I'm like, what is that?
Really?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. But I would definitely say, like, within the past year, though, I've been really getting into collecting. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, people are like, what are your hobbies? And I'm like, shit, I don't really have any. Because music was once my hobby, is now my job.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. But I never really, like, sat and went, yeah, I don't really know what I like doing.
Yeah.
Other than music. So I really got into collecting just within the past year. And touring was really easy to, like, find different comic shops and stuff and seeing what they have. And I'll just kind of, you know, if there's something I liked, I'd buy it. Just, you know, and then come home broke, but with a shitload of Godzilla figures.
was there any comic book shops that stood out to you over your travels?
On my travels, yeah, there's two in Michigan that I really, really like. Mm-hmm. One called Rocket Comics and one called Fanfare. And I like them because they're two different styles of stores.
Really?
They're both comic shops. But so Rocket's mainly like a smaller, more mom and pop shop. Mm-hmm. But they just have like the most old school, rarest stuff you can find. And I feel like the smaller ones have more of a personal feel to it. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Nice.
I love that. But in Fanfare is a bigger store, more a corporate. But I still, you know, there's a place for that because I feel like they have a little bit more stuff, mm-hmm. you know. So I would definitely, you know, if you're ever in Michigan, I'd definitely check those out. But we actually have an awesome one here in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, like, literally walking distance from my house.
Yeah, we're actually going to hit that up after this.
which is trouble for me. But it's called Samurai Comics. Nice. And the you know, just even past the store itself, the customer service is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you got workers there that, like, actually know their stuff. And they'll take the time to explain stuff to you, you know, and just a great story. It looks great, clean. They always have cool stuff. So I, you know, Samurai Comics to me is the best. And that's I'm not trying to be biased because they are local, but I love them.
Yeah. And they have multiple locations, right?
Yep. I think they have they have several locations here locally.
It's two or three. I could be wrong. So.
Yeah. I don't remember. I just, you know,
should be more.
when I have one right across the street from me, I'm definitely, you know, I always take advantage of it.
And as far as, were you into Godzilla movies from the beginning, or is that something you jumped back into and watched all the old ones?
Yeah, definitely when I was younger, I was really into them. I actually still have a lot of the old VHS tapes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And But I did kind of stray away from it for a while. But then, yeah, definitely within the past year, I really got back into it. And I mean, having my son definitely helps because he's really into it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was kind of cool to like catch up on some of those movies that I missed, too. Mm-hmm. You know, and seeing some of the newer ones, I really love them. I love the newer stuff, too, you know. But no, it's definitely something I jumped back into, and I'm glad I did.
So I know that we're all in the situation now, but how do you see the Phoenix scene coming back from it? Do you think it's going to be a full boom, or do you think it's going to be a slow burn?
Oh boy, it's a tough one.
Yeah, and I'm not holding you to anything or anything like that.
Oh, no, it's all good. So here's my problem with that whole thing, with the whole Phoenix local music scene, is I'm actually kind of out of touch with it because I've done so much touring and mm-hmm. I'm focusing more on a national level, less of a touring level.
I should have rephrased that. How do you see it coming with like countrywide? Like, do you think it's
gonna... Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
It's all good. It's going to definitely be a slow burn because here's what we're going to run into. And I'm not trying to get on a political tirade or anything. I know we talked about that earlier, but... Mm-hmm. Here's the problem we're going to run into is you got those groups of people that are like, oh, I can't wait for us to go back out and play. Mm-hmm. And then you got the other side that's like, not sure because of safety reasons. I get it. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're going to have those clash at times. And that's what's going to make it tough because it's like, when is it going to be the right time? Because there are bands that are actually going out now
mm-hmm.
and they're just getting destroyed because like, oh, how could you guys go out right now? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got the other side of it. It's like, oh, I'm so glad you're going out, you know, and because they are taking a chance,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's a tough, tough situation. I can't put a timeline on that.
Yeah. I have a lot of guys telling me April next year, pre-summer.
And that's believable, but it's like. I don't know. It's just so hard because, I mean, we were talking to people were saying, like, oh, it's going to be fine by October. Don't worry. And it's like, oh, are you sure?
I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, so it's so hard to put a timeline on. I can't sit here and go, oh, I think it's going to be better by next year because mm-hmm. I don't know that. Because even if everything seems fine, you know, I feel like there's going to be a select few that are going to make it not seem like it's fine.
Yeah. There's always that one guy.
Yeah, so that's hard.
Yeah,
and I don't want to like make anybody mad or upset by saying these things, but that's just how it is. That's the reality of it because I've seen it from both sides. I've been on both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand there was that the Sturgis Bike Fest and it went off pretty well, but you know now there's supposedly more COVID cases,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I'm talking about. It's like you got both sides at each other's throats, and that's sad.
Yeah, and would you see yourself doing more of like the drive-through concerts or like the more like the style you did last night? What would you prefer?
Well, I've never done a drive-in concert.
Oh, really?
So I don't know, but I would definitely be down to do another live stream like last night. It was definitely cool. And it's any way that I can provide people entertainment and a little escape, I'm mm-hmm. down to do it.
Nice.
You know, I would be glad to do it. You know, so it's just one of those things, you know. I'm one of those people that I'll go with the flow,
mm-hmm.
you know, and adapt. Because you either adapt or perish. That's my motto.
Yeah.
You know?
I think technology has helped us in that aspect. Because everything is clear now, faster, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You couldn't do that probably, what, 5-7 years ago?
No way.
It would be all choppy and we'd be...
It would look terrible. No, after watching back the live stream, I was blown away by it. I'm like, wow, the quality of sound is great. The video looks great. Mm-hmm. I really, you know, would I prefer to be on a real stage again in front of people? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, everybody would.
But... And here's where I stand on the thing. I don't think crying about it and complaining about it is going to help me. Instead, I'd rather just take action.
Yeah, you got to sharpen your blade.
Yeah, and do what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be a part of the solution, not the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to what I was saying, you're a master of your craft. Do you still have a practice routine you stick with, or do you kind of just jump around like you were saying?
When it comes to my like actual practice time, I try to always do something new, at least take an hour or two to try something I've never done before,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise I don't consider that practice. It's just me noodling at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely try to work on, find a new technique, learn a new, you know, whatever, maybe even learn a new song just for fun. And so I always try to take the first couple hours to try something different.
Nice, nice. And then your downtime, I know you're a gamer as well. What are you playing?
Oh, I just got that... Resident Evil 2 remake, which I'm not gonna lie, graphically looked amazing,
uh-huh.
but I feel like this is my problem with modern games. I feel like they really hold your hand
a little bit
too much, and then I hate microtransactions. Mm-hmm. I think they're dumb and pointless because I already paid $60 for a game.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a full game. Now I'm not against extra content though, like added DLC. I think is actually kind of cool because it's like, oh, more reason to play. And usually DLC is only like $10.
Not to stop you there, but when I put a game down, it's hard for me to get back into it.
Right, right. And that's the thing I kind of run into is like once you beat it, it's like, oh, well.
I mean, like you get used to the controls and, you know, the routine of it. And but it's like if you leave it for a while and go play something else, come back, you're I'm discouraged, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally feel you. Where I feel like games back then had more of a longevity. Mm-hmm. Like you could pick it up again and be like, oh man, yeah, this was fun to play.
Well, yeah, you pop a Super Nintendo game and you just keep running through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of feel like games have lost, like, you know, I guess it can almost be the same thing as modern music because it's so processed, so digitalized, so everywhere. Yeah. It kind of lost its value, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's just so easy to get. I mean, now you don't even need to leave your house to get a game anymore.
Yeah, and I'm still a physical guy. Are you that way? Or you'd like to download?
I would rather go to a store. Yeah. Because it wasn't just buying a game, just going into a store. It kind of goes back to the whole Blockbuster thing, too. Oh, yeah. You know, it was like an event. It's like, dude, it's Friday. Let's go to Blockbuster. Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
The green cases.
Yeah, yeah, I loved it. I loved it. You know, now it's just like, hey, what do you want to watch? Oh, let's scroll. And I mean, there's something for that, too, I guess. But it's just, and maybe because I sound like a, maybe I sound like a boomer now.
Well, I'm agreeing with you.
But I'm like, I do miss more of like going into a store and looking at things and being like, man, this is cool. And because, you know, I feel like now when you online shop, you kind of already have to have what you want in mind.
Yeah, and you're taking a gamble too.
Yeah. But with a store, you know what you're going to get. You know, you kind of like, and it's exciting because you might walk out with more than what you wanted or less. You never know. Mm. You know, but, you know, again, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that new AAA game comes out every month. So you're like already backlogged for 3 or 4 months while a new game comes out that you're looking forward to. So you're like,
oh yeah, what the heck is this?
I got to put away 4 hours a day for this. That's a lot. All right. So back to the single that you guys were releasing. What, you said later this month you're doing one with Wade again?
Yeah, the 18th, Ordinary Life.
And what would be the best platform to check that out?
It's going to be everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, all those media distribution nice, outlets. Man. So yeah, you'll be able to find it no problem. Actually, I think American Idol is actually going to do something for it too.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be a pretty big release. And then I got a new single with Farewell, hopefully coming maybe like late September, early October. Mm-hmm. We just finished it. So
nice.
You know what I mean? It's kind of up in the air.
All right. And then to find you, Tommy Gibbons, in your studio, what would be the best place?
Any of my new stuff. I released 2 old songs on Spotify. Mm-hmm. And also you can get them on any distribution site.
Same stuff.
Yeah. But they're older songs. I will have a new single dropping mid, late October.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that myself.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it. It's definitely going to be different than what you've heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, I'm finally kind of at a place where I can kind of do what I want now and just hope people like it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, hopefully the next song you like, or,
well, you're good enough for what you do to do what you want.
Oh, thank you.
As a compliment. I mean, either people like it or don't, but I think you should just keep running with what you're doing.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. And that's where I'm at is like, you know, I want to do what I actually enjoy doing and you either can come along with me or, you know, and that's fine if you don't like it. It's totally fine.
Yeah. I mean, no. And like you were saying, there's something everywhere now every 5 seconds. So
absolutely.
And people's attention span, the shores. And at least mine, you said, as you mentioned before, when I get on YouTube, I'm already like, I found 3 new bands in like 20 minutes.
Oh, I know. It's also amazing, though. Like,
yeah.
I think it's great.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's so easy to discover new talent, new bands, where before it was like, you know, it was a little tricky, you know, and you're kind of only relying on what you hear on the radio or...
Yeah, and there's part of that nostalgia I miss too, like the Blockbuster mentality. When you hear a song and you're like, hey, write this down real fast.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Going into a record store and just skimming through the CDs and stuff. Yeah, well, of course I miss that. But, you know, again, it goes back to that. You got to just adapt with the times. I know some of it sucks, but some of it's also great.
Yeah.
You know, like we were talking about the whole live stream technology thing. There's no way that we could have even done that 5 years ago.
Yeah. It would have been choppy and, you know, flip phone coverage. All right. Well, it was a pleasure having you on. I know we haven't seen each other in a while, and you know, it's cool that we reunited with this. And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a pleasure. I really thank you for welcoming me into your studio and all that stuff. And you know, like I said, reach out to Tommy if you want some studio time. He's got some cool stuff coming out. Thanks a lot, Tommy.
No, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.